Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of The Optimism Show. Today, as our guest, we have Michael DiVestia, who's leading marketing and content at Coop Records, where they're really shaping the future of on-chain music and doing some awesome stuff with artists and bringing them on-chain and also working quite a bit on the artist fan engagement. Michael, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. Excited for this.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I have one question just as we get started. And I believe like a lot of people might be asking this question as well, especially artists, because on-chain music is still quite a new thing. And we do know that artists can get a lot more funds on-chain, but I'm really curious, like from your experience so far, why do you think artists are actually putting their music on-chain instead of Spotify? And what are the impacts so far that you've seen with the artists that you're working with?
Yeah, so the traditional music industry is pretty hard on artists today. It's mostly relying on streaming if you're selling music digitally, and streaming doesn't pay that much. It takes a long time to make money. And so on-chain music is kind of an alternative revenue stream where if you do it right, you could make a lot more money. And a lot of our artists are making the equivalent of potentially millions of streams just by selling it on-chain and reaching another different fan base. And so right now, one of the main ways that they can do that is through collectibles. And at Coop Records, we do collectibles for about $1. We sell them in ETH on Base, and the fans can collect them, and the artists are earning that money instantly. And that's completely different.
When we're on the topic on collectibles, because there's also like we've seen different models like with the NFTs and everything. I'm really curious, what are your thoughts of, for example, launching collectibles of the specific song types or the specific music versus what projects, for example, like Moxie have been pushing, something along the lines of like artists and tokens. And I'm really curious to hear your perspective on how you see those things.
Yeah, right now it's all about song-based things. We haven't really explored artist-based tokens or anything like that, but we're basically right now focusing on an artist releases a song, they put it up on Spotify, the normal stuff. They also send it to us, and then we sell it as a collectible. And then speaking of coins and tokens, what we do in some cases is take that collectible and upgrade it to a fungible token, where then people can trade it and potentially make money in more ways than just buying an NFT and selling it.
But also, like from what I understand, like from the artist's perspective, it's completely risk-free.
Besides the social impact of it, in some cases, an artist's fan, the fans might not be on board with crypto, and they might hear crypto and automatically be scared or not understand it. And that's I think the biggest drawback. Yeah.
That's an interesting point that you brought there, though, because like it's still even like for I would assume like for most of the people, it's still a very alien concept to collect music this way. Like in the past with the artists that you collaborated with, I'm curious, like what has been like so far the amount of audience they could bring on chain? Like what was the perception of having mintable music by their fans? Like what have you noticed so far? Are people getting on board that way, or is it mostly people that are already in the ecosystem that stay and collect that music?
Yeah, well, at this point, most of the people are just crypto people already. And so that's
Understandable.
a struggle, for us trying to figure out where to go from here. But I think basically when an artist drops with us, they kind of keep it as just a separate platform that they don't really mention. They don't really think about it. They just kind of like they give it to us and we're making them money. And, that's like good for now, but right now, our goal, and for me as marketing, is to get real people to want to discover music early and make money off of doing so. And I think that's the power of what on-chain music can do that Spotify or other traditional platforms can't provide for the people that are, fans of whatever artist. So for example, if they collected a song and then it went viral, which has happened for some of the songs that we've put on our platform, maybe they could make money for being early to that song.
You mean like something along the lines of like giveaways and incentivizing giveaways afterwards and similar, or like...
Well, the way that I see it for the future is that once real people come in, it's almost like if you think of a meme coin, when a meme goes viral, if somebody found that coin on the first day versus the next week, the person who's buying it the next week in some cases is going to buy it for a lot higher, and the person that bought it the first day is going to sell it for a profit. And so that's kind of an interesting way to think about it, is if we can bring that kind of to music, and then they can make money off of their taste and being early to that song, for example.
Music.fun.
Yeah, right. We did actually have Kooprex.fun as our launch pad for the first three song coins that we launched. And how that worked was we basically had three big songs that they turned them into tokens, and we experimented with that. One of them, we held a vote and we used Coop points, which are the native point system on our platform, where every time you collect a song, you earn a certain amount of points. And we used those points to allow the fans to basically choose which song would turn into a token. And that token today is still used, you know, in some of our products. We sometimes use it to incentivize collection of the songs that we're selling. So,
but I've noticed that you're quite active on platforms like, or at least you were, like on boost.xyz, and like really using those economics of incentivizing people to take an action. And just wanted to make a note of that.
Yeah, that's one of the main ways that we've been getting people to collect our music, is through questing and boosts. And so for Boost, like, we're the top spender. We spent a significant amount of tokens doing that to get people to collect, and we'll give them, you know, 80% back on a collecting a song plus Coop points. So to me, I think it's a pretty good deal. But you know, we've been doing that for a while, and that's kind of our model right now. And we also do Layer 3, which is a great platform for discovering, you know, crypto opportunities and things. And so we do music on those platforms every week, and that's how most of our collectors are finding us right now. But yeah, the long-term goal is to reach out beyond that as well.
We'd love to hear, like, what goal and where you're actually striving to go with that, and also what do you have in mind, especially because Coop Records has existed for a while now, even like as a media, and what can actually that mean for the on-chain music?
Yeah, I think going forward, we're going to lean a lot heavier into the coin aspect of things. And so, like I said, we have three coins out already, and we've kind of experimented with them, understood where that kind of worked and didn't work. And so we're going to hopefully in the next few weeks be rolling out more things of that nature and create a way where fans can not just buy like a $1 collectible and then, like, you know, that's the end of it. But this is like an ongoing relationship with the song, where they can buy, you know, however much of the token they want, and then they can sell it later on, or they could hold it long term for, you know, any other reason. And even beyond that, they could be rewarded for like referring other friends to buy the token, or things of that nature, where, you know, sharing music that you like can earn you money. And that's the main focus, because in the past it wasn't possible, or it was very difficult for the fans to always make a profit off of buying the NFTs. And, you know, there were stories in the very beginning of people who made thousands of dollars back by buying a song and then selling it to someone, but that's not a sustainable thing, like, especially in a bear market, or, you know, just it needs very specific conditions to work. But I think that tokens and coins potentially have more of an option of, you know, there's more flexibility for the collector.
That's an interesting take, actually. Like, it also reminds me of what Zora is trying to do with their art coins.
Yeah, we've been watching Zora and other platforms for sure to kind of understand where to take this stance going forward. I think that tokens are like it's more of a familiar thing for people who are, if we want to onboard people who are just getting into crypto. So they kind of understand that, like, I buy this and the price changes, versus somebody who might just come here and be like, why would I buy this $1 thing that's like I can get for free on Spotify? And so that's kind of the way that I look at it, is from the value perspective, a token is more valuable for someone who doesn't know anything about crypto, because they could make money off of it. They could still support the artist by buying the token. And so all around, it just maybe is a more digestible thing for someone who wants to get into it.
The other thing that, and I'm pretty sure you thought of it already, but that I see here is like, it could also, I would assume it can really strengthen the connection between building the artist fan communities and actually help bring a lot of artists on board if that works, but it just makes sense.
Yeah, I think, like I was going to say, like the having the fans basically as like investors in the artist early is really useful for smaller artists who don't have, you know, capital to maybe do that in the first place. And so this is going to help them like propel their career maybe a little bit faster, because they have some upfront money that they can use to then make more music and do more things. And they're kind of in it with the community along the way. And so the only downside to that is that if the token goes down, then the community is not happy anymore. And so that's the only thing that collectibles offer more security, as far as nobody can blame you for selling a $1 thing to them and then they maybe can't sell it later. But for a coin, if it goes down, then that's the problem.
But in that case, how? Because if we see it, that hypothetical case, like it could theoretically like harm even like the artist's reputation. But I'm sure like there's always a lot of different moving factors. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on maybe what is your approach to that? And also what are your thoughts around that? Because there's also been like even if you look at the content side and the creator fan tokens, there have been some that survived, but there's also a lot that didn't survive over time.
Yeah. I mean, speaking to the artists, how it works really for us is we kind of explain it to them as the collectibles, and that part of it is, you know, an easier pitch right now where they're making more money and they're, you know, they don't have to do anything other than give us the song and the artwork, you know, and we kind of do the
rest. Pretty good pitch.
A good deal for most of them, yeah. And so, like, we share it on our Instagram and we share it on our socials and things. And, like, some of them will interact and some of them won't, but it's not, like, a necessary component of it. And so moving into, let's say, the coin phase of things, we're going to have to reevaluate how that pitch is going to look, and it's going to be harder. And so it's kind of going to be a transition to see how that works. So going forward, yeah.
I'm curious, like a follow-up on that, especially as you're doing this transition, since you're focusing on marketing and content. Would love to hear, like, from your perspective, pretty much what are the things that being in marketing and content, especially for a blockchain company, you've seen as different and that are actually helping you guide through that path? That maybe others haven't really considered out there.
Yeah. I mean, the thing for us that we've really leaned in on now is the like real life experiences that people are having around music, and kind of bringing that to like, here's what you're supporting, like when you buy on-chain music and things like that. And so we actually have a series called The Midnight Diner where we do like these live events. We did two in Japan recently, and we just did one in LA like a few weeks ago. And basically, we're taking clips from those different shows and things and putting those online and being like, you can collect this song on chain, you know, and they're like good songs. Like people know the songs in some cases. And so that's kind of where our marketing stands, is like trying to bridge the gap between what is popular in the real world and then what is they can do in crypto to support
that. It's such an interesting intersection though, because especially as you said, like showing people what they're becoming part of and what they're supporting opens up like, because a lot, like the mainstream, even like if we see like movies and stuff, at least from my observation, it's kind of like separating in the sense of there's the niche artists and whoever solo builds or creates, and then there's the mainstream. It seems like to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that it's a similar thing that is happening in the music space as well. especially if people would like to be part of smaller communities.
Yeah, and we want to bring more mainstream music on as well. But if you understand the music industry, which is really difficult to understand in many cases, I think that in the future, this could scale to like the mainstream. Like we could have like the biggest artists in the world, like coming on chain and doing things.
Going on that topic, I'm going to go back a bit because I have just curious about this, and I haven't really heard it before. How has the on-chain music space evolved throughout the years, and what are the friction points that are actually happening with the mainstream music industry?
Yeah, there. When I first got into it was around like 2021 when Sound.xyz was coming out, and that was one of the earlier platforms for music, and they had big artists. They had Snoop Dogg and certain artists that you know everyone would know. Yeah. And so they did like really well. They raised money from huge artists as well. And yeah, it was a really successful platform. In the beginning, they did 25 editions at 0.1 ETH. This was on mainnet back when the fees were like $100 to collect something. It would, you know, they would sell for a lot more after. So it was a great thing for a certain amount of time until the market couldn't support it anymore. Then it kind of, you know, didn't do as well. And they really led a lot of the different changes that happened in on-chain music, I think. And they're the platform that I really followed a lot and got me into it, like I said. So they tried a lot of things. They tried bonding curves where you buy a song and then the price goes up a certain amount. And then if you sell it, it goes down a certain amount, you know. And
but not tokens.
It's not necessarily a token. It was kind of like you own an NFT, but the price that you can sell the NFT changes based on how many people buy it after you. And so
that was
like,
interesting though.
Yeah, like it was an interesting experiment. It was very short lived, but they did that. They tried different, you know, collectibles and things like that. They change them to layer twos, obviously, at a certain point to make the fees a little bit less. And so, yeah, eventually they unfortunately recently closed due to the market conditions like being not favorable for on-chain music, and they're kind of building their own thing, but a new thing. But yeah, that was, I'd say, one of the bigger platforms that made an impact in the past. And we used Sound as Coop Records for like up until recently. We were doing everything on Sound, and then we eventually put it onto our website, and now it's all on our site. So you can do all the collecting and everything right on our site, cooprecords.xyz. And so, yeah, that was how that kind of worked in the past.
Like, what excites you right now the most about the on-chain music space?
I think I'm most excited to see like artists, you know, finding out about it and then putting music there, and potentially even big labels doing it, because Sony just launched their layer two. And so like, what if there's a future where like Sony, the music company, puts music there? And so I'm excited because right now, like this is a time where the tools are right for music to start being sold to people through crypto, way easier than, let's say we go back to 25 editions at 0.1 ETH and you have to pay $100 in gas fees. So, you know, it's way more accessible now. It's something that I think a lot more people will find as crypto becomes more mature as an industry, pretty much.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually. Like, it's really that transition period, and especially what you're doing, like bridging artists that are from outside, bringing them inside, really onboarding a lot of people as well. Taking a bit of a tangent here, something that I'd love to hear from your perspective, what you've noticed, how is AI like so far impacting more specifically the on-chain music space, I would say, but if that's too niche, like the broader music space that you've noticed, because there's so many things coming out that it seems there's quite a few changes in the music space as well, especially in the blockchain.
Yeah, I mean, we have one artist on our platform that's really leaning into AI, and they're kind of a project that we've worked with for a long time now, and it's called Roki. And they basically build these like amazing worlds of like video AI and using music scoring and things. And I think they use AI to help with the music as well, but it's really cool. You'd have to check out like their Instagram and they have a YouTube and all those things, but they're doing like literally using the like brand new tools to make these different worlds and characters. And it's like a whole story that you follow along, and they have episodes, episode one, episode two, where you kind of like follow along in the journey. And so that's one of the projects that we're working on right now. And then there's also in the space one called Louder, which is a token, which isn't affiliated with us directly, but it's an ERC-404 token, which means it's like a hybrid between an NFT and a fungible token, which basically like you buy the token, and if you own 10,000 of the Louder token, you unlock a super loud, which is like it's like a AI generated song. And so like you can listen to the song, like whatever, on OpenSea or whatever platform you want to check it out. But yeah, it's kind of like a token that's based on AI music. And so I think that's one of the main ones that's around right now.
Do you think like actually there is quite some potential in that when it comes to the music sector? Because everything seems to be like pushing the AI trend, but then like, do you feel like it's going to replace some part of it, like transform some part of it? How do you see it impacting the space? Because we're definitely not going to see artists going away or AI replacing music.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we, as far as the, like our goals go, AI is not like a top priority for us because obviously we want the artists to do their own thing. And then we kind of like are the distribution layer more so than the creation layer of things. And like I said, we love having projects like Roki doing it. And I think, yeah, I mean, about what the future of AI looks like, I think for musicians, it'll really affect like the creation process. Like it'll make it easier for people to make music and to express their ideas. And I've used AI music platforms often, trying it out and stuff.
There are some good ones though. Like we tried Suno. It's pretty.
Yeah, I've used that one. So that one's pretty good. But yeah, it's just, I think AI is going to definitely change the music industry, probably more than crypto even will. But you know, both of those things together is even the biggest combo that's about to crash the music industry. You know, the next big wave of change for music.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually, especially that intersection. And another thing that I find very interesting that you mentioned is that it's a really interesting position that you said, like, we're not really focusing that much on AI, we're focusing on distribution, which makes perfect sense. And that's something that even like, as I've noticed, like talking with multiple founders, professionals and stuff, even if you look at the bigger projects, it's always focusing more on distribution because that's something that will never go away. And in that case, from what I understand, you can help the artists a lot more if you can just get their songs out there.
Yeah, that's why it's really good that right now we have Boost and Layer 3, like, for example, like to help us. But like eventually we need real people that are just coming on, learning about, you know, on-chain music and just loving it for supporting the artist and potentially making money off their taste.
What do you think needs to happen before that becomes a reality?
I think we just need to keep bringing more artists on. And basically what we're working on now is a mobile app where anyone can just download it. And then, you know, you can use Apple Pay to buy music. And so, yeah, it's going to be like a challenge. But for example, Zora is in the top 100 of like social apps right now.
Really? I haven't noticed the charts. That's pretty good though.
Yeah, they're up there. So it's, you know, it's catching on. And I think Zora is doing a great job of paving the way in that sense. And so hopefully one day we could be in that type of position where we have an app that a lot of people download and they can listen to their favorite songs and also support them at the same time. And, you know, we're still a little bit far off from that, but that's the ultimate goal that we have.
And I'm just going to, I have like a couple more questions for you, Michael, and thank you for sharing all these insights. One of them, I'm just going to switch a bit to the, from the artist perspective. Mm-hmm. What are the key considerations that an artist should consider before even coming on chain?
I think that
just to elaborate a bit more from the perspective I'm asking is because also what I've noticed is that a lot of people would oftentimes not get into certain things, even if they're simple, just because they perceive them as a very complex.
Yeah, and that's what's good about our platform is that we kind of take away a lot of the process for the artist. They kind of just need to understand the concept of your music is being sold and you'll earn crypto as a result of it. And so, you know, I worked at Sound XYZ as well, like for a short time. And when I worked there, that process, I worked with artists and helped them to like onboard to the platform. And it was really difficult to explain to them like the different things. Like they didn't understand a forever edition versus an open edition versus a limited edition, which is, it's complicated at first to understand what a limited edition means when you're collecting music or what an open edition is, because that's not something that happens in the real traditional
world. What is the difference between an open and a limited?
So a limited edition would mean like you sell 100 copies of the song versus an open edition, which would mean it can mean two, you know, or three things, which is like an open edition could be it's open for a certain period of time, or it's open for forever, even in certain cases. So that's the kind of the difference.
Do usually, like when it comes to the music on chain, do these like different editions happen? Like, for example, you release one song and it only has one, for example, an open or a limited, or oftentimes it has like, for example, a special limited edition, and then you have the open, the forever, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there's been cases where we have a mixture of both. So we'll have like, yeah, we'll have the open forever edition and then also like 25 limited editions to commemorate a certain song or something. And then more recently, what our platform is just open edition, $1 each for like every song.
Have you seen like music getting published and like pretty much pairing like a limited edition and like a vinyl, like a physical vinyl or like a physical kind of merch in on-chain space, or it hasn't happened yet?
I've seen it happen. People on Sound used to do it all the time. Like they would offer options, rewards, like for example, if you buy like a certain amount of them or something, or even just, you know, when it sells out, they'll give you this thing. As far as Coop Records goes, we haven't explored that as much yet because we don't want to ask too much of the artist at this stage. It kind of, you know, that could be an option and we'll see about that in the future. But right now it's more of just like everything that we offer is you get a download from when collecting the song. So you get a high quality WAV file of the song and you get to be in the audience section, which is kind of like showing that you collected that song. And those are the key like features that you're getting for collecting right now. But yeah.
Oh, but that's awesome because that also like a lot of those contributions from what I understand also go to the artist and supporting the artist and actually continuing the journey of the artist.
Yeah, in most cases we're splitting the, you know, money 50-50 with the crypto income and then they can withdraw that at any time.
Recently. But that comes a split, but you're also handling pretty much all the distribution.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
That's pretty awesome, actually. Two more questions I have for you. So one of them being is like, if an artist would listen to this, what is one message that you'd like to give to artists and you'd like to leave them with?
Yeah, I think don't be scared to explore the on-chain space because there's literally platforms that are specifically social platforms about this. Like you could build a whole audience that's completely different than your Instagram. So we have artists where they're on Farcaster and Lens or something like that, where they build a whole different brand and there's still their music. It's still their brand, but it's just in a different place. And so you could literally, you know, have a whole different community based on the same music in a different spot and still be successful in both categories.
And actually even touch on the new stuff that is happening out there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And my other question is like, Michael, is there anything else maybe that I should have asked you like during this interview that you'd like to share that maybe we haven't touched on?
I think that covers a lot of it. Definitely, I would just say for people that are interested in learning more about Coop Records, they should check out cooprecords.xyz. That's where we do everything on there pretty much. You can follow us at CoopRex. We have Instagram, we have all the different platforms, we have Farcaster, all those different places. We even do YouTube. We have clips there. things like that. And also our Midnight Diner series, you can check out. We have an Instagram for that one. That's Midnight Diner. And yeah, we do. We're going to keep working on making everything work for on-chain music.
Excited to see how the on-chain music space progresses, though, and especially Coop Records. We'll have all these links like right in the description for anyone that is listening. So you can check them out there. And Michael, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for sharing all these insights. And it was really awesome touching on all these different topics with you.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me.